Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best in beer, and the best selection anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Kevin was seen the other day drinking pickle juice directly, and no, I'm just kidding.
It's healthy for you.
Oh, boy. Actually, that came up the other day. The topic of pickle juice came up the other day. You want to know why?
D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
Yep.
Big show coming up today. We're going to talk with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, about suspending your guy. Yeah, he ended up statistically, by the way, with the toughest schedule for next season. The Steelers did. Number one. Falcons' easiest schedule, and you'll probably have to go probably a couple games without your guy, Bell. Now, I know that, you know, that Steeler fans will tell you, boy, that Josh Harris is something special.
No, that, you know, no, we did not say Josh Harris is something special.
Something else.
You've turned it into Josh Harris being the second coming. And no one said that. All we said was Josh Harris will get the job done.
And how many games did it last?
Well, you have to give him the ball to give him a chance to get the job done. You bring in a guy who's got fumble fingers that couldn't even keep a job a whole year with a football team. That made no sense to me. I know what you're going to say next. I know it like I know the back of my hand. You're going to say, well, they're there with him every day, and they brought somebody outside the organization in. What does that tell you?
Exactly. They saw him every single day, and they didn't look around and go, yeah, we're fine. See, that's the difference between them and you. They're professionals.
Actually, I think they panicked.
I don't think so. I think they knew that they didn't. That they had to get somebody else that actually could play. I think that was a big part of it.
So that's coming up later today.
Yeah.
That's good.
And Josh's name will not be a part of the conversation.
No, so. Okay. All right. Don't ask the hard questions. No.
I think they're going to go into the free agent thing and maybe pick up a guy. Here's whatever.
Why don't you focus on the defense instead of worrying about two games?
You need to worry about two games because you have no running back for two games. And if you're going to face a schedule that statistically is that tough, you need to make sure you've got somebody that is functional back there that can make things happen in your offense. You'll concentrate on the defense all you want, but it is something else that needs to be brought to the table. Only the unintelligent would sit there and say, we're fine there. It's just two games. Come on.
Well, I mean, they have an extra preseason game this year, don't they?
Yes, because they'll play in the Hall of Fame game.
Well, there you go.
Which you'll be attending.
I'm planning on it, yes.
I mean, be great.
Well, I'm not planning on attending the game, just the ceremony.
Oh, you're not going to go to the game? That's the fun part.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is your chance to see Landry Jones in person.
Listen, somebody should pay me to see that. I shouldn't have to pay them to see it.
You're always begging for cash.
I'm just saying, to see Landry Jones playing a game, I'm not that excited about it. Somebody should be paying me for that.
Well, to be honest with you, this could be a chance to see your guy Josh Harris play.
No, I see him most of the spring anyway, or most of the preseason anyway. He gets a lot of time.
Because once the regular season comes around...
you won't see him at all.
I mean, it's like, my goodness. Funny is he in the witness protection program? They don't seem to spot him in any games, do they?
No. I saw him on the sideline a few times.
Great. I wonder how many times he was a healthy scratch.
Hey, I have a question for you. I was reading about the Pac-12 presidents and chancellors and what they sent to the Power Five. And one of the things that they said, instead of really addressing the issue, they said maybe we should make freshmen ineligible.
This has come up at the athletic directors and coaches teleconference for the Big Ten this week. We'll talk to Adam Rittenberg about that.
Good, because I think that misses the whole problem. I don't think it's necessarily freshmen playing or not playing is the issue. The issue is in college basketball, and the issue is the NBA.
The issue is the NBA Players Association. It's not the NBA.
Well, I was lumping the whole thing together, but okay. I understand what you mean because, with the NBA because, players.
Because the NBA, as an organization, as a league, wants at minimum 2 years and 20 years of age as their entry into the league. Just like the NFL has a three-year rule. You have to be in 3 years before you can opt for the NFL draft. Well, the NBA wants you to be in 2 years. Well, the Players Association, oddly enough, said no. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen a Players Association do. I don't understand how, when you're representing the current rank and file that you fight so hard for, rank and file that isn't a part of your organization yet.
More money
where? You're going to get the same money regardless of what you're doing.
If they bring in more players, they won't get more money?
No, it's the same group regardless. You only have X amount of players in the league to begin with.
Yeah, but what about these guys that are playing in the D League? I mean, are they still part of the NBA bargaining situations and stuff with the union?
Yeah, but there's only X amount of spots there.
Okay.
It's not as if they sat there and said, "Hey, look, you know," he said, "we're going to bring in 60 more players in the draft. Fabulous. That's 60 more guys." No, that means 60 others dropped out somewhere.
Well, are they proposing this freshman ineligibility for all sports or just basketball? Because in my mind, Steve, this is just a basketball issue.
Well, no, I think this is more, I think they're more talking football right now.
Really? I don't see this kind of problem in football.
Well, football, you start your clock sooner than basketball. At least in basketball, you're already in one summer and you're already in the fall before you even start practice.
But why would you want to make freshmen ineligible for football? I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I get the basketball side of it because of the NBA and kids leaving early. I understand that, and I would think that's a way to deal with it if the NBA doesn't do anything.
But the number of guys leaving early after 1 year in college is really not that large. I mean, look at Ohio State, for example. D'Angelo Russell. Right now, Russell's probably one of the top two or three draft picks in the NBA draft. Some say he might be the number one pick, although I think Okafor is. But there aren't a lot of other guys right now that fall into that category of, wow, there'll be a couple of Kentucky guys that do it without question, but right now, the guy that's the Big Ten Player of the Year is a four-year player who will also be a lottery pick, Frank Kaminsky of Wisconsin. So it's a mixed bag. I mean, it's a real mixed bag because of the number of Kentucky guys that have done it. It's interesting. But, you know, who's Kentucky's best player? Willie Cauley-Stein. No, he's not a freshman.
See, I think this hurts everybody else but the Power Five.
Why? Why does it hurt everybody else?
Because I think there are a lot of freshmen playing at smaller schools that will actually not be able to let those kids come and play. So they may end up going just about anywhere at that point. That's one of their recruiting situations with smaller schools. Hey, listen, as a freshman, we're going to give you the opportunity to play right away. Whereas if you go to big school...
Smaller school who? Like Bucknell?
Now, anybody. I mean, Ohio. If you have a player looking at Ohio State,
but But if the Power Five wants to do it, the Power Five will do it among themselves.
Well, that's what it would have to be. And can you do that with the current NCAA situation?
Well, they just did cost of attendance, didn't they?
So they could make this rule for just five. You could make this rule at a conference level, well, but not an NCAA level.
You can propose it for an NCAA level. You can do it as a conference level, too, but the Big Ten has talked about it. They have actually talked about it. Something Jim Delaney talked about 2 years ago. We talked to Adam Rittenberg about that in the final half hour of the show. Financial numbers came out today for Penn State for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2014. And Penn State, I know they've had to take out a bridge loan. I guess that's the best way of putting it, because of the sanctions and so forth that have been imposed. But I think you're starting to see them turn the corner financially. And Penn State continues to be a model, I think, which any university president would absolutely love to have, and that is a self-sustaining athletic department that doesn't take money from the university and takes no money from the state. And that's what Penn State is. They are autonomous, and they're continuing with that. And the new TV contract's really going to help them in that realm. Football made a profit of $37.7 million in the latest reporting period. Men's basketball made a profit of $4.9 million in the latest reporting period. Men's ice hockey made a profit of $400,000.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Which is good. Well, they don't have to rent their building. Men's basketball has to rent its building. Now, wrestling on Sunday, I mean, you're saying, well, you know, look at wrestling, what they did on Sunday. I think the drop count, they listed it at 15,900. The actual number of people in the building was 12,300. And they didn't have to pay rent. The Jordan Center gave the wrestling program the building rent free, which is completely opposite of what they do with basketball. Basketball has to rent office space. Basketball has to rent practice facility, practice time, and, of course, games. And wrestling, with everything it's done, it did actually really, really well in the last reporting period. They lost $200,000, so they were $200,000 in the red. And that's really, really good, because some years it's around $1 million, but this last one, wrestling, was $200,000 under. So the autonomy continues to be the single most impressive part for me. I think every university president in the country, every board of trustee group in the country would love to have an athletic department that wasn't draining resources from the university and wasn't draining resources from the state, and that could take care of itself. Well, that's what this athletic department's been doing. Tim King, commentator, Penn State hockey next half hour, then Tony DeFazio and Le'Veon Bell. No Josh Harris talk today. We're a Josh Harris free zone. And then Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. As we roll through this
Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Without a doubt. And of course, I am joined by Kevin Herr, known to many across the world as the most interesting man in the world.
Just because they find him interesting, his beard alone has experienced more than a lesser man's entire body.
I wouldn't say that.
His blood smells like cologne.
Maybe.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Kevin Herr. Absolutely. As an entire, I mean, it's amazing.
We may have to save that. That's good. That's some good stuff there.
The police often question him just because they find him interesting.
That's happened.
His beard alone has experienced more than a lesser man's entire body.
That's not true.
His blood smells like cologne.
I'm not sure about that, but... And I'm not going to cut myself to find out, but, you know, I'll take his word for it.
You are the most interesting man in the world.
I have moments.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you do. It's amazing. I mean, it's you. It's all. I sit there, and every single day, I'm amazed.
His personality is so magnetic, he is unable to carry credit cards. Even his enemies list him as their emergency contact number. He never says something tastes like chicken. Not even chicken.
That's you!
Oh, boy.
That is you, my man!
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
Oh, boy.
You are the most interesting man in the world.
Well, I'm understanding...
Every day on this show, you prove it to me. You say things I find, wow, that's really interesting.
Yes, but you're usually sarcastic when you say it, so I'm not sure it means the same.
Oh, no. I think you're taking it all wrong.
Oh, well, my mistake then, yeah.
Which, and as the most interesting man in the world, you should not admit it mistakes.
No. I'm the most interesting man, not necessarily the most flawless.
His New Year's resolutions would blow you away. All right, let's bring in Tim King, Penn State hockey color commentator on the Penn State Sports Network. He and Brian Tripp been ordering room service, are up to that stage now. Tim, welcome. Great to have you with us.
We have not gone for the room service yet, nor have we made our way to the microbrewery down the street. But both of those are in the future.
Yes, they are. The level of play, you watch this team against Wisconsin, and in a short period of time, they have not only closed the gap, but they're now beating teams within the conference. What are you seeing right now, Tim, in their level of play and level of consistency over the past couple of weeks?
Well, the thing that's really propelling them right now, obviously, you know, when you've got a first line scoring at the rate that Penn State is scoring right now, that's one great thing. But the thing that's really propelling them as much as anything is the second line, the third line. They're getting scoring from everywhere. The defense is starting to chip in. In the last six games, the defense is responsible for 20 points. So when you've got everybody chipping in on the offense, it makes it that much difficult for a team to deploy any sort of defensive strategy that would allow to curb this offense at all. And this offense is just flying right now.
Why the slow starts?
Boy, if I had an answer for that, I would have Guy Gadowski's job. It is one of the great mysteries of this hockey club, and it frustrates the coaching staff just absolutely to no end. That they just can't seem to find a good start. It almost seems as if this team can't really get going and get playing until they're down 1 or 2-0.
which is interesting. And sometimes when a team has slow starts, I don't care if it's basketball, football, or even hockey, they'll diagram a play that they just know is a play just to start the game to get something out of it. Right.
Well, and in hockey, that's it's virtually impossible to do in hockey. The best thing you can do is, try any sort of different line combinations, try any sort of different defenses just to try to get you out of that mental rut. But it's like this team just kind of sits around. I don't want to say they sit around, but they get down 1 or 2 nothing, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, now it's time to go. And when they step on the pedal, it's game over.
Having a hot goalie always pays off for you. And with all due respect, and with all due respect, based on past history, PJ Musico would not have been the guy I thought would be the hot goalie. Why has he become the hot goalie? What has he done, and what have they done in front of him to help him?
Well, I think part of it too is kind of the guys on this team really like him. I mean, he's a senior. He's the guy on the team that everybody kind of gets along with. So they play maybe a little bit harder in front of him. And he's just playing a very simple game right now. Just find the puck, stop the puck. And frankly, that was becoming a problem the couple of games before he came in, where people just weren't even making the simple saves, let alone the tough ones.
Well, when he first started this little role of his, it was in a very tough spot. It's not easy to come into the middle of a game and suddenly take over in the second period. That's what he did against Western Michigan. What did that do? What did it do for his confidence? But then what did starting do for his confidence?
Well, it number one, I think, when you sit on the bench for as long as he did, your confidence does kind of get all chewed up. And you wonder, does the coach still have any faith in me? Is this going to work? How is this going to work? And, when you get in a game like that, then things start to roll for you a little bit, and you start stopping a couple of pucks, and it feels better, and you start to get into rhythm, and, the next thing you know, you're the starting goaltender, on national TV, and you're the guy that's going to keep this eight-game unbeaten streak going. And that does a significant thing for a goalie, and a goalie without confidence is hopeless. It's just the worst thing in the world. And coming into a game stone cold like that, imagine if you were a relief pitcher in baseball and you weren't allowed to warm up in the bullpen. You came straight out of the dugout, they handed you the ball, and you had to throw a strike your first pitch.
Right. There's no margin for error. And he's also coming into games with no margin for error either. Because at that, there's
normally,
the reason they changed
it. When the backup goaltender comes into a game, it usually the sky is falling, and you've got to come into a game that's 3-0 or 4-0 or 4-1, and it's just chaos in front of the net, and you've got to come in and settle it down. And that's a unique talent. I mean, there are very few people that are really, really good at that.
What kind of job have the forwards done back-checking on this team? We've talked about what a great offensive team they've become, but what about the back-checking job that they've done with the forwards on this team?
Well, I think when you see the shots on goal totals and you see how the penalty kill works for the most part, that tells you a lot about how the forwards are coming back and handling things in their own zone. And that has always been one of the keystones of Guy Gadowski's foundation. Is you've got to be able to play both ends of the rink. You can't just be a 20-goal guy. We need somebody that can come back and back check and do all the little things on the rink. So that's never really been that much of a problem with this club. They back checked pretty well even last year, but last year they just didn't have the offense going like they do now.
Last year, they were a heavy volume shot team. I mean, they just fired as much rubber as they could at goaltenders. Give me an idea, Tim, as you've watched them, the efficiency with which they play with and what kind of passing they have to set things up and not just take shots.
Well, I think sometimes this team last year would get into a rut where they would be happy with a high shot total. Hey, we got 45, 46 shots on goal. Yeah, but all of them were in the perimeter. Nobody was getting to the dirty areas of the ice. Nobody was making it miserable for the defensemen. Nobody was making it miserable for the goaltenders in most of the games that they lost. This year, they're doing a way better job of getting to the net and doing something with it once they've gotten there. You know, the guys like Dylan Richard can operate in very, very tight spaces in there and make a good smart play. So it's the willingness to go in there, and it's not fun in there. You're going to get hacked and whacked and banged, and it's not a pretty way to play hockey. But in this day and age, with goaltenders as athletic as they are and as heavily armored as they are, that's the way you score down low in front. You don't beat guys very often with a 55-foot slap shot.
I know when I look at the Big Ten in a football sense, I can get a pretty good read about whether the league is up, rising, or in that good level but not great. Basketball, same thing. You know, the last 3 years of Big Ten basketball, the level of play has been great. This year it's very good in the Big Ten. Not great, very good. There are a lot of very good teams in the league. Only one great one. What do you see in Big Ten hockey right now?
Well, I see offenses that are much more energized than they were last year. If you went to the tournament in Minnesota, it was a string of 2-1 hockey games, and it was a string of defense first, defense first, defense first, live off the turnover. Now you see teams like Penn State and teams like Michigan that are very efficient and proficient offenses, who are not afraid to go into a game and say, okay, you want to beat me 7-5? Great, let's go. And that's very different from the kinds of hockey that some of these teams have played coming from other conferences. And Wisconsin would be happy with a 2-1 hockey game every night. It's the way Mike Eaves has coached forever. He was like that when he was Kevin Constantine's assistant in Pittsburgh. He was like that in Hershey. He was like that in Philadelphia. It's just his team and his MO and his team's MO. They just don't have the horses to do it right now. If you look at what they lost last year, they lost 170 scoring points, right, and 11 players. And most of those 11 players, you can make a pretty decent expansion franchise out of. I mean, they lost some serious talent, and they're way worse than anybody expected them to be. Their defensive coverages last weekend were at times horrifying. So, you know, you kind of cross them off the list. That's a complete retool. Wisconsin, Minnesota is a great mystery. I cannot figure this team out. They've got 14 kids that are NHL draft picks, and they're playing like a middle-of-the-road hockey club. And I don't have an answer for it. The closest I can come to is you've got 14 kids on that team playing like 14 stars instead of 14 members of a team. And sometimes the press clippings get in the way.
Right. Tim, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. You and Brian, great broadcasts coming up this weekend. Look forward to listening to them very much.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the time.
Tim King, color analyst, Penn State Sports Network for hockey. Tony DeFazio next half hour in a Josh Harris-free zone. Despite the fact that certain fans declared him as the MVP of the team heading into the playoffs. It's kind of strange, I thought. And Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. You're rolling your eyes. Why?
I'm not quite sure what you're listening to, but it ain't the same show I am.
I think that's been established now in our fourth year. On today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket imports domestics, microbrews. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Stacks, peanuts, pickle bar, second to none. It's all Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. When we come back, Kevin's going to tell you about the great vehicle he turned in today at Sunbury Motors. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin had the painful task of turning in a fabulous vehicle today at Sunbury Motors, but it can work out great for you.
Yeah, we're looking at the 2015 Ford Focus. The redesign for 2015 gives you the opportunity to have the EcoBoost package in the SE. It also has the titanium technology package available, and something that could come in handy all weekend is the cold weather package with the heated steering wheel, heated seats as well, and they heat up rather quickly, too. One of the new things that they've added in the Focus, if the standard S model will have the second row floor mats, as well as the first, row floor mats on the S. The second row is available as a standard feature on the SE. So the SE has both. The S has the front row. It used to be that you wouldn't get any. So that's an added feature, as well as what we talked about earlier with the repositioned door locks. They put them back on the door instead of on the center console. Standard rear view camera, standard sync with my Ford, and you'll get right around 30 miles to the gallon city and 35 or more. 35 or more highway, especially when you throw in the EcoBoost engines, whether it be the 2.0 or the 1.0. It's at right now at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, the Ford dealership. See Corey and Jeff and the guys there and find out more about the redesigned 2015 Ford Focus.
Great car, great vehicle. Look forward to hearing about the next one. As at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yes.
You say you don't hear the same program I do?
Sometimes I think I hear a different one, yeah. It's like Fran Fisher's line. I've used that many, many years when people say, oh, we listen to you while watching the game. I say, well, you get two different games for the price of one then, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking in the first hour something that I didn't quite understand what you meant. We were talking about freshman ineligibility. And now I think I understand it a little more. You're saying that more of the concern is not the NBA issue and kids in basketball leaving early. You said the concern is that freshmen adjusting to college life right away while the football season is going on, too. I can understand the concern there. That makes a lot of sense to me.
That's a big part of this.
I didn't look at it that way, but I get it now. I get that now.
Well, that's a big part of this, that they want to take a long look at that. And at the same time, you know, Jim Delaney is, and I'll tell you, there's one part about that I am squarely there are a lot of areas where I'm squarely behind him, because I think he's a brilliant businessman. I think what he's done for this conference and what he's done financially to help out athletic departments and in turn student athletes is something that should be discussed for a long, long period of time. It is too easy to sit there, well, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. They have done a great job in this conference of making sure everybody has cash to make it happen. And he's talked a long time about that, you know, look, let's not act like we're some feeder league for the pros. If it turns out that way, great. If not, he said, we have to remember we're a college or university. Well, he's absolutely right about that. And you just can't sit there and put rules together just because D'Angelo Russell wants to go to the NBA. You got a whole bunch of other people to take care of, and you can't have people too focused on the NBA part either.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Embroiled in an ongoing ethics scandal, the governor of Oregon again says he will step down. KXL Radio's Mike Turner.
This ongoing drama is finally being played out to its bitter end on this Friday the 13th, following calls for resignation by Democratic leaders in the state capitol. The